ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
Well, say something. It's just me? Okay, fine. Welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and are not too tired to join us for the next hour, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so of course we are welcoming your participation out there. The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and in my case, a couple of Thanksgiving questions. So please join us. Our lines are totally open. It's a great time to get in. Please give us a call as soon as you can, 415-841-4134. I like to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you would like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the known world just by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it should be available afterwards, also at kalw.org. We're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. Here's the first. Jerry Nachman has just enough room left for a tad more sweet potatoes, stuffing, turkey, and maybe a sliver of the pumpkin, apple, pecan, and blueberry pies.
Thank you, Dana. Pauline Teichman is still full of turkey and trimmings, but hope she's left enough for questions and answers.
Lori Fisher celebrated Black Friday by spending nothing but time by himself and with loved ones, and consuming nothing but fresh air and leftovers.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, decided not to watch the Macy's Day Parade this year, since seeing anything inflated would have made him feel guilty about having a big Thanksgiving dinner.
All right. And that is us. I'll begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Thank you. 30 of the country's 50 largest cities have banned smoking in bars, restaurants, and workplaces. In the year 2000, only one city had such a ban. What was it?
San Francisco?
No.
New York City, then. It's one of the two.
No.
No, New York was pretty recent.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're just looking for the one in 2000, the one, the city that...
Mm-hmm. The single city.
2000.
Is it a major city? Can I ask that?
Yeah.
It's one of the 50 largest.
Yeah, right.
How about Portland?
No.
That's a good guess.
Oh. Yeah, that's good.
I was going to say someplace like Boulder.
One more guess each. And
Boulder, Colorado, or Santa Fe, New Mexico. Or
you said two. And you, have you guessed anyone?
No, I said I was going to.
Okay, have you guessed anyone?
No, I said I was going to.
Okay.
All right, I'll say Seattle.
No.
Right. And I'll reserve my second guess.
Okay. I think France has been since 2000 or 2002, something like that.
Okay.
Okay, so you and I get one more guess here.
All right, yeah. All right. Why don't you repeat the question?
30 of the country's 50 largest cities banned smoking in bars, restaurants, and workplaces today. But in 2000, in the year 2000, only one city had such a ban. What was it?
2000. All right. And Pauline.
Okay, let's see. The Mai Tai cocktail was created in 1945. Its name comes from the Tahitian words, Mai Tai Hoa A'e. What is the meaning of these words?
From a Laotian word?
No,
Tahitian.
Tahitian, no. Oh,
not exactly.
Completely different.
I can't hear with these earphones on.
So you want to know the meaning
what does it
of
mean?
Mai Tai?
Yeah, what does it mean? What do those words mean?
Let's see.
Does it have a direct bearing on what's in the drink, by any chance?
No.
Or the results of drinking it? So, like, you know,
not really.
Good times or something like that?
Oh, more like that than...
Right. But. Mai Tai.
All right.
Welcome, stranger. I don't know.
for a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mai Tai is your time.
Lots of ties.
No.
It's a good question.
Give it once more, would you?
Okay. The Mai Tai cocktail was created in 1945. The name Mai Tai comes from the words Mai Tai Roa'e in Tahitian. What do those words mean?
Oh, 45. Maybe it has something to do with the end of the war. May peace be with you. No?
And also with you.
Do you speak Tahitian?
Not at all, which means I may have said it really badly, but...
Our Tahitian minds over matter.
Yeah, we'll be corrected by that, I'm sure.
I figured, you know, it's kind of like Hawaiian where every letter is pronounced, maybe.
Makes sense.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. This is Big Radul from the Carneros.
Hi.
I've got a movie question for you.
All right.
In what movie did John Wayne kiss Walter Brennan?
Oh, in Rio Bravo.
Right. Can I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
Who were the actors that played the two brothers that were involved in it, and what were the characters' names?
You mean the two brothers who were the villains?
Yes.
One was a long-time Western and TV villain. What's his name? The one with the... I'm thinking of the one with the mustache. I have to work at this in strange ways. He was the partner of Robert Young and Sitting Pretty, the law partner. I'm sorry, I can't think of it. And the one that was in jail, the one that was being held in jail.
I could give you a clue on the first one.
All right, give me a clue.
The Lawman?
Yeah, he had his own TV show, didn't he?
Called The Lawman?
Yeah, Lawman.
Who was The Lawman?
Yeah, but that's the problem. I can't remember what it is.
Not Clint Walker.
No. It's nothing. You'd know him if you saw him. He's tall, thin, dark hair, pencil mustache. At least he had a pencil mustache in that movie. Deep voice.
I remember because I just watched a little of Sitting Pretty last week, and I remember.
Yeah,
him.
You remember. Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't remember.
Okay, well, it was John the Lawman Russell as Nathan.
John Russell.
Death.
Okay.
And then his brother Joe. Was in a TV series called Moving On.
I almost want to say Earl Holliman, but it's not Earl Holliman.
He was also in some Sheriff Lobo or something. I never watched.
Claude Akins.
Right.
Right. Oh, right. All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Tina.
All right. Thank you. Hold that up. And Lori, you go ahead.
All right, well, I have a holiday question, sort of, if Black Friday can be considered a holiday. The term originated in a certain city, and I'd like to know what city, about what time period it was first used. It sort of has had two meanings, like what was its original meaning and what's its meaning now.
And well, the original meaning was when... It was the day when you were in the black in terms of...
No, that's the new meaning.
That's the new meaning.
Oh, that's the new meaning.
Yeah, so the new meaning is when companies go into the black instead of in the red. But that was its original meaning was something derogatory.
Or because that was seen from the clerk's point of view. It was a pretty dark, grim day.
It was a grim expression, but not by the clerk. So the question is, where did it start?
Not by the clerks.
No. Where did it start? About what time period did it start? And at what time, at what year did it actually become true that was the biggest day, the biggest retail day in sales? That's more recent.
So all this is American, though?
Yeah, all this is American. I think we only have it on the day after Thanksgiving, which is American.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was called Black Friday by a group or mm-hmm. Not the clerks?
Not the clerks. Somebody saw it as worse than the clerks. So what group? What time period, about what year,
where?
What city, yeah. And at what point did it become true that it was the biggest retail day?
Anything to do with the tax person or Internal Revenue?
No, not to my knowledge.
How about Philadelphia?
That's correct.
Wow.
LaBelle, very good.
It just came from there.
Yeah, it started in Philadelphia. So we're looking, who started it?
Wanamakers?
No.
Gimbels?
It wasn't a department store.
Oh,
it was
right.
A group of people
who
did not like the day much at all.
Oh, then was it the clergy?
No, it wasn't the clergy. I think they were happy
they
to see people
spending. They didn't like the
spending.
Commercialism of it? Or?
No, I don't think they cared about the commercialism.
Okay.
I think it was. Yeah, I'm
not. It's not a racial thing.
No, not to my
Anything
knowledge.
To do with being a teacher? Teachers?
Not this one.
All right.
Okay. Many others.
All right. So just reiterate what you're looking for.
So in Philadelphia, in the year that I'm looking for, the approximate year, a group used this as a disparaging term, Black Friday. And now it's come to mean to go into the black or into the good. And what year did it turn out to be true that it was the biggest retail day of the year?
1972.
Pretty close, a little before that, okay. As far as its origination.
And if you'd like to join us here with a question or answer, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We do have a couple of lines open. All right. Let me get my questions here. All right, so I have a couple questions about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which has already happened, but I didn't use these last week. So between 1952 and 1982, there were four permanent hosts of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Who were they? And you have to get them all.
What were the dates again?
Between 1952 and 1982, there were four permanent hosts of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Who were they? You have to get them all.
That you kill us when you do
get
that.
Them all. Come on.
Oh, it's not hard.
Well, getting them all is hard.
I know Willard, what's his name, was host for a long time, but I don't think he started in 52.
I'm talking about the hosts, the ones that sat up there and
described everything.
Not Willard, the color. Willard, he was Willard's, like a color person. He Willard would go around and talk Willard to people
Scott.
In the crowd.
The weatherman. Yeah, not him.
But I don't think he's. And the same four from.
It wasn't Willard Scott.
From 52 to.
82. Between 1952 and 1982, there were four permanent hosts of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. So, in other words, the first work did about 10 years. Then there were two people that did the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then there was a single person that did the last 10 years.
Well,
collectively, we're not going to get it. If we did them one at a time.
They're all quite well-known names, by the way. Nobody obscure at all.
Katie Kirk? Well, you're not going to give us
But that's wrong anyway.
Think of her network. Post 82.
Willard Scott must be one of them. I'm sure it was the last.
Willard Scott is not one of them.
He's not one of them?
No. No. He just did color. He just did like the man on the street stuff. He wasn't the real host.
In
52. You know, how about Dave Garraway?
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll break it up if you want. Dave Garraway did the first 10 years.
With J. Fred Muggs, right?
I don't know if he had Fred Muggs. Yeah, Dave Garraway is between 1952 and 1961.
Wow, okay.
Okay, so I'm looking for the other three.
One at a time.
All right, and I found this. I actually found this fact today. I thought it was kind of interesting. There have been only two balloon floats that are based on real people. Who were they? And they're both in the movies, or the floats are from movie stars.
So, and was it their character in the movies, or their actual human? You know, was it?
I have to kind of finesse that a little bit. So it's a little tiny bit of both.
Elvis. So, like Indiana Jones.
No.
Elvis Presley?
No. Further back.
Further back.
Okay. Yeah.
Before Elvis?
Yes, before Elvis.
What year did the parade start?
Started in 1923 or something like that. But this is after 1923.
Yeah.
There have been only two balloon floats based on real people in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. They were movie people.
Movie people.
Right.
He didn't say actor, so that's...
They're actors.
Okay. How about Chet?
It's not going to be Daryl Zanuck, you know. Yeah. So,
Harry Cohn.
Yeah, no.
So how about Charlie Chaplin?
That's a good guess, but no.
Okay. Mm-mm. Somebody comic.
I don't know. Sydney Greenstreet.
No.
That'd be no. A hell of
it's
a...
not based on anybody being big or fat or whatever.
Inflated.
Yeah. Inflated. Ego inflated.
So once more, between 1952 and 1982, there were four permanent hosts of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Who were they? Lori got Dave Garraway, who was the first one. Who were the other three? And there have been only two balloon floats based on real people in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. They were movie stars. So who were they?
On the host, think of who were the other hosts of the Today Show, because they might have been the ones.
How about Arlene Francis?
Oh, no. Geez. Mm-mm.
Or the Today Show. Well, going with
no, none of the others were hosts of the Today. Well, one was involved slightly with the Today Show, but they weren't really the hosts.
Yeah, is it always on NBC?
It's always been on NBC.
Oh, then you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
But no, they're but not hosting
they're not
the
today.
Today show. Later on, they had Brian Gumbel. That was later on.
Yeah.
So that was in the late 80s.
Huntley and Brinkley.
No. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Scare from Union City.
Hello.
I think I know two of the people who were hosts of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Okay.
Were they Lauren Green and Betty White?
That's right. Lauren Green and Betty White.
Wow.
Very good.
Yeah, I got a couple questions.
Very good.
A couple of weeks ago, you asked who was the first person at Flyers Club roast day. I got one for you. Who came up with the idea of a Flyers Club roast?
Was it
a comedian?
Yeah, it was a comedian.
How about Milton Berle?
Milton Berle,
nope.
Yeah.
Jackie Kahane.
Nope.
Okay. Let's see. Not Milton
Berle. This person one of the first roasters or roasties?
One of the first roasters. I'll give you a clue. He was close to Eddie Cannon.
George Jessel?
Yeah, give yourself a bell.
Yeah, nice. That's early.
Oh, yeah, the Roastmaster General.
Yeah.
I got a question Toastmaster for you.
General.
Mm-hmm. Who was the only film composer to be honored to win an Oscar posthumously?
Oh, posthumously. It's not Bernard Herrmann, is it?
No, not Bernard Herrmann. He was, did get a nominate, but he was nominated posthumously, but did not win the award.
Okay.
Dmitry Tiomkin.
Nope.
Max Steiner.
Nope.
Posthumous.
His last name starts with a Y.
I know who it is. The one that did Around the World in 80 Days.
Victor Young. Victor Young.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
This is Joe from San Francisco.
Hello.
And the ban on smoking, I've forgotten the date you said, but early on, wasn't that San Francisco?
No, it was not San Francisco.
Well, I was sure it was.
That's all right. Somebody here guessed it wrong also.
Yes, thank you.
You would have thought it would have been San Francisco, but no.
Yeah.
But somebody else did guess it already?
No.
Yeah, I guess
still waiting.
I guessed and got it wrong.
Okay, sorry.
Well, thank you. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Oh, okay. Obama won every county in 4 states. What states were they? You have to get, 3 for a bell. Let's say.
Right. Delaware.
No.
Really?
You can let us get them one at a time.
Get them one at a time. I guess that's a
All right, Massachusetts.
Yes, that's one.
How about Vermont?
Vermont is 2.
How about New Hampshire?
No.
Maryland.
No.
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, very good.
The small states.
One left.
Delaware.
No, I don't think he went.
Oh, you did, okay.
It wasn't right.
Hawaii.
Hawaii, very good, right. Guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay, let me ask something else.
Thanks for letting me answer.
What fish's body is almost completely covered with taste buds?
Their body is completely covered with taste buds?
It has more than 250,000 taste buds.
On its body, on the exterior.
My question is why, but that, I didn't know the answer. I didn't find that out. But.
Jeez.
And it's a fish.
It's a fish.
Yeah.
Is it a well-known fish?
Oh, yeah. Shark.
No.
Fish.
That's a fish.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why this particular fish would have all these taste buds, I have no idea. Maybe a caller would be able to fill us in. An ichthyologist, perhaps?
There you go. You just wanted
to
use that fancy
word. We have a big ichthyology audience.
Well, we got a lot of science there.
A goldfish.
Chilean sea bass.
No, Chilean sea bass, no.
Poor thing.
Lori?
I'm going with the rock cod.
The rock cod, no.
Yeah, no. I have no idea.
Okay.
All right. Repeat the question.
What fish's body is almost completely covered with taste buds? More than 250,000.
But you don't know why.
But I don't know why.
All right. Well, maybe one of our listeners can tell us. And the number to join us is...
It doesn't taste that good.
There you go. You've had it?
That's a hint.
Huh?
You've had it?
No. Oh, well, I've had this particular fish. Yeah.
Paulina's, I guess.
Eel?
No.
Pollock?
No.
415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter at 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. Let's go to a call. real. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Ruth in Berkeley.
Hi.
Hi. Would that fish be an octopus? No.
No, no.
Okay, but that's not what I called for.
Okay.
I'm sorry. The Hugh Downs for the host for the...
That's a very good guess.
Not Hugh Downs.
Oh.
Uh-uh.
Okay, that's it.
Thank you.
You're just missing one of the hosts,
I think it
right?
should be.
Yes, yeah. Just missing one.
Should be Hugh Downs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Paul from Martinez.
Hi, Paul.
I think I have the answer to that last question. Was it catfish?
It is a catfish.
Oh, I love catfish.
Do you know why delicious. It's covered with taste buds?
Because it's a bottom feeder, I guess. I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, I guess it's to make it attractive to other fish. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and then I had a question I was going to ask.
Yes.
Very good.
Go ahead.
All right, so a baseball question.
Okay.
In what year were 8 members of the Chicago White Sox banned from baseball for life?
1919.
Oh. That's correct. Yeah. And what was that team nicknamed?
The Black Sox.
All right, got it. It's golden.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I'm a Chicago boy.
Piece of cake, yeah.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you do. Good.
That's the only one I know.
You could retire now.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. The number to join us is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman, teacher in Berkeley and photographer Pauline Teichman, Lori Fisher, who teaches at Diablo Valley College, and I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And Pauline, it's your turn.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a list of famous photographs and ask you to give me the photographer, but I'm going to restrict you each to one only and wait until I've given the whole list. Okay. VJ Day in Times Square.
Okay, wait.
Afghan Girl. Tears.
Tears?
Tears. Raising the Flag on Iwo Jima. Gandhi at the Spinning Wheel. Einstein's Birthday. Guerrillero Heroico, and Migrant Mother. Some of them are easier than others, but they're all very well known.
I know three.
You may only guess one.
Okay, VJ Day was Eisenstadt.
Absolutely.
Life Magazine, famous.
I think Gandhi at the Spinning Wheel is Margaret Bourke White.
Absolutely.
Is Tears Man Ray?
Yes, it is. Oh, there you go. That you've got yours.
I don't know that.
The other ones. Out. Oh, it's the most famous ones. The ones where you've got like
the fake tears. They look like little crystals or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful. Okay. And the woman's like looking up sideways, upward glance.
Okay, so the ones that nobody's gotten.
So the ones that no one's gotten yet are Afghan Girl, Raising the Flag on Iwo Jima, Einstein's Birthday, Guerrillero Heroico, and I can't say it right. Guerrillero Heroico and Migrant Mother. Forgive my Spanish accent, which is
all your
really bad.
All your clues have foreign languages in it. It's very impressive.
Which I can't say.
You think that's accidental?
Right. Very
no
good.
Comments.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Stefan from Sacramento.
Hi, Stefan.
And I think one of the answers to the question about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day float was one of the people, Eddie Cantor.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Good. I'm very glad you got that.
Gee, I have no idea how I know that.
That's amazing.
Yes, Eddie Cantor was in 1940. They had an Eddie Cantor float.
And why?
I don't know why. Wow. They had a big inflatable Eddie Cantor.
How did you know that color?
He's got a big head.
I don't know. I think I read an article somewhere.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good.
Very obscure.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And is the other person of that ilk kind of comic
the same,
caricature?
Yes.
The same era?
Roughly, yes. Ah. Within a few years. And
someone whose face is recognizable?
Extremely.
Like, extremely.
Extremely.
Okay. A man or a woman?
A man. And
singer?
What's that?
Singer?
Only slightly.
How about Jimmy Durante?
No, good guess, but no.
Okay.
And, Lori, it's your turn.
All right. I have one of our most loyal listeners, Sue Schweit, to thank for this question. What very well-known piece of music, it's incredibly well-known, all our listeners know it, was composed by someone with the name Euphemia Allen, who composed it in 1877 and had to compose it under a man's name to get it published. One thing we thought is if she had copyrighted this and had gotten payments every time somebody played it, she'd be one of the richest composers on earth.
Is this classical or a traditional song? This is traditional in a sense.
It's traditional in a sense.
It's not the birthday song.
It's not the birthday song.
No, that's the two sisters. Patty Hill did that.
So Euphemia Allen composed this in 1877 under the name Arthur DeLully, which I might help
Is this like My Country, 'Tis of Thee or something of that? It's something like that. I have a
folk song.
I remember
kind of
the name very
American
slightly.
It's traditional, I would say now, although it's composed. And like, it's not patriotic as far as I know at all.
It's not is it Amazing Grace? No, it's not
Amazing Grace. It's not Amazing Grace.
Is it a rural song?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But you would all know it.
We all know it.
Yeah. Is it sung on any special occasion or just all the time?
It is performed on many occasions for all kinds of different reasons.
But it's very distinctly American, would you say?
I wouldn't say that.
And you did say or did not say it's patriotic.
I said it isn't. No. Well, it might be patriotic, but not to any country that I know of.
Is it used in commercials?
It has been used in commercials. It's been used in movies. It's been used for various things.
I
don't associate it with a particular commercial, by the way. So that, but it's very out there, and because it's not copyrighted, I think anybody could use it at any time.
Three Blind Mice.
No, but not it's not terribly far from Three Blind Mice.
Pop Goes the Weasel.
Yeah, not that either.
Okay, something like that though.
Kinda.
Kind of a kid's song, possibly.
Possibly. Many kids would know how to perform this song. Okay.
The Farmer and the Dell.
This is good. I get Dana to sing. Yeah, that's excellent.
Not the Raindrops song.
And Pauline's dancing, and Dana's singing. This is like
just give a basic question.
Okay, so what very well-known piece of music was composed by Euphemia, and if nothing else, saying that word is wonderful, Allen, under the pseudonym Arthur DeLully in 1877, and it's very well-known. It had been copyrighted rights are paid every time it was performed, she would have been a very rich woman.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm going to have clues later on, but this is good.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. This is Gary from Sunnyvale.
Hi, Gary.
Hi. I'm going to try to answer the smoking question.
Yeah, okay.
San Jose
it is. Very good. Wow.
Very good.
Excellent.
The reason I know that is because I'm trying to quit. And
Oh, and you're in San Jose, huh?
Yeah.
You know the way to San Jose.
Okay.
Hey, also I want to try to guess on the balloon.
Yes.
Would that be Bob Hope?
That's a good guess, but no, it's not Bob Hope.
Another good guess.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But it's somebody with that distinctive kind of feature.
It's somebody in comedy.
Jack Benny.
No. No, it wasn't Bob Hope, sorry.
It's somebody noticeable.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Okay. Let's see.
Not one of the Stooges, huh?
No, not one of the Stooges. What was the first feature film that was adapted into a weekly television show, network TV show? And it was within 2 years of the film coming out.
Wow. Is that a comedy?
Mixed. What was the first feature film that was adapted into a weekly network TV show?
Life with Riley.
No. That was actually adapted from a...
What, the other one?
Radio show.
Yeah. Okay, so this started life as a feature film.
Yes.
And then went to a TV series with no radio intervening.
I don't think so. Not to my knowledge.
It's in the 50s, I take it.
It ran partially in the 50s, yeah. Yeah.
Any hints on the genre?
Mixed comedy slash drama.
I Remember Mama.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, I Remember Mama.
Very good.
The show debuted in 1949. The movie came out in 1947.
Wow.
A great series, by the way, if you've seen any.
It ran for 8 years.
Yeah,
so
it's a wonderful
series.
It was
a long time.
It was a wonderful series.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you remember it?
I remember Mama.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you name the cast?
Gertrude Berg.
Peggy Wood.
No, not Gertrude.
What am I thinking?
Gertrude Berg? No,
yeah,
I don't
who
think
am I thinking of? I think Gertrude Stein.
No. Peggy Wood.
Peggy Wood played Mama.
And
who played the young daughter who later became a prominent feminist?
Myron Cohen.
Robin Morgan.
Oh.
Is that right?
Robin Morgan, yeah.
Interesting.
And I forget the other people. I think Dick Van Patten played Lars.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Yes, I believe you're right.
And the father, I can't... Conrad Veidt, is that it?
He was dead by that time.
No, not him.
Who played the... You mean the husband?
Yeah, the husband, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
I was thinking of Molly Burke. What was she in?
The Goldbergs.
The Goldbergs.
Okay, yeah. Gertrude Berg was...
Wrong nationality, yeah. But the same right. Same yeah. Earth mother type, yeah.
Okay. All right, here's another question for you. You got that one. Now listen to the names carefully. Katie, as in Katie Couric, Katie, Marshmallow, Flower, Courage, Peace, and Carolina. What do these names have in common?
So which, does it matter how we spell peace?
No.
Peach, or flower?
But it's peace as in world peace.
Please run through those again.
Katie, Marshmallow, Flower, Courage.
Flower as in plant or as
flower as in plant. Katie, Marshmallow, Flower, Courage, Peace, and Carolina.
Courage.
Yes. All these are names of something, and they're linked together.
Well, some of them are names of songs.
Is it like Kingdom?
Katie and Nothing Could Be Finer Than to Live in Carolina.
No, it's not a song.
Like a mnemonic for like Kingdom?
No, it's not a mnemonic.
Stuff like that?
No. Are they all types of peaches or roses or something like that?
No, they all are... They are not different types of something. They are all the same thing. But they're all linked together for a very... in a very particular way.
Katie, Marshmallow, Peace,
Katie,
Carolina.
Katie, Marshmallow, Flower,
Courage,
Peace, and Carolina.
Oh, Peace. I thought you said Peach.
Peace. Peace.
Gosh.
You're not saying they're synonyms.
They're not synonyms.
But they're
all
the
names
same
of something that are all the same type, and they are linked together in a historical way. Katie, Marshmallow, Flower, Courage, mm-hmm. Peace, and Carolina.
I can't think of more words that are less connected.
Similar.
All right. And we are about halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry?
Gosh, mine have all been answered.
All right. Well, it's no shame there.
Okay.
Should be proud.
The Mai Tai cocktail was created in 1945, and when two friends first were served it, they exclaimed in Tahitian, "Mai Tai Roa A'e." What do those words mean? And who photographed these famous pictures? Afghan girl raising the flag on Iwo Jima, Einstein's birthday, Guerrillero Heroico, and my grandmother.
So the Afghan girl is the one that was on the cover of National Geographic with the striking eyes.
Is. The beautiful green eyes.
Right.
And you don't want us to take a second guess at these yet, do you?
I'm going to leave it out a little bit more because I think most of them are pretty well known.
Oh, yeah.
So I think...
okay.
I don't know the one with the foreign title.
Oh, yeah. Well, can you translate that for us?
Well, I can tell you that it's actually... It means heroic, like, guerrilla fighter, and it's Che Guevara.
Oh, that one. Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right.
The very famous, iconic image of him.
Oh, I thought maybe it was the Robert Capa of the soldier being shot at the Spanish Civil War. What about you?
I have my Black Friday question originated in Philadelphia. And I'm looking at the approximate year it was first used and who used it to describe what. And then it's normally now known as the biggest retail day in the U.S. In what year did that become true?
Get the police call at that because
yes.
It was a problem to.
That's exactly right.
The cops
called it that because
crowd control,
traffic, yeah. And just handling the crowds.
Okay.
That's very good. Yeah. Okay, so now we're looking for about
sense.
What year it was first used and at what year it became true.
How about 68?
Close.
69.
I'm going to call it. It's 61.
Oh.
It's 61 is when they started to be used, and in what year did it really become the biggest retail day in the country?
Think recently, very recently. I would think.
Take a guess.
I'm thinking like probably this year or last.
Before, yeah, not quite that recently.
Like the last few years.
Okay.
5 years? Last 5 years.
And once you get that, I'm going to say what was the biggest shopping day before that was true. And then I have my question about the Euphemia Allen, wrote a very well-known song that we all know under the pseudonym of Arthur DeLully. And had she copyrighted it, she'd be a very wealthy woman.
But you did say it was like a traditional song, not a hit, pop hit.
Not a pop hit. No. But everyone would know
Euphemia.
It. And many here's a slight clue. Many people who play music would have played this piece of music.
Oh.
Chopsticks. Oh.
That's correct.
Very
Chopsticks is right.
So you never want to give that extra.
Yeah, change. That was it. Yeah. Its original name was the Celebrated Chop Waltz.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then I'll throw in one more question since you got that. In what movie was it a featured song? A very well-known movie.
Oh, I remember this.
Maybe in more than one movie.
Big. Is that Heart and Soul or was that?
I think that was Heart and Soul.
No, I thought they did Chopsticks. Where they were on the in the FAO Schwartz on the piano.
It might have been.
But either one.
Yeah, I think that was Chopsticks.
Yeah, okay. Bum, 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 okay, which other movie?
Yeah,
the piano.
Yeah, not the piano.
All right.
Very well known and interesting the way it was played.
Okay.
Yeah, like in Big, where they did it with their feet.
And, all right, so Katie, Marshmallow, Flower, Courage, Peace, as in World Peace, and Carolina, they're all names of the same thing. And they all have a historical connection. So what are they? Katie, Marshmallow, Flower, Courage, Peace, and Carolina. And it's a very American related in a historical sense. Let's see. And there have been two balloon floats in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade that were based on real people. Mm-hmm. One of our callers got number one, which was Eddie Cantor. That was in 1940. Who was the other movie star?
Groucho Marx.
Yes, I have to give it to you. It's the Marx Brothers.
All right.
Very good. 1935.
Including Zeppo or just...
No, not including Zeppo. Just Harpo, Chico Harpo and Groucho.
There it is on Pauline's paper, but she was too shy to say it.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes. And so between 1952 and 1982, there were four permanent hosts of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I asked who they were. So far, we have three out of the four, Dave Garraway, Betty White, and Lorne Greene. We're just looking for one more. So who's the missing host there, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade between 1973 and 1982? So, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Fred. I have a question.
Okay.
Hey, Fred.
Where does the term "there's more than one way to skin a cat" come from?
Some strange medical practice in medieval times.
Where would it possibly come from? Related to a prior call tonight.
Ooh. Oh, to a prior call.
To the people drunk on Mai Tais.
No,
did evil things to cats.
No. Why would anybody skin a cat? Now, come on.
For food?
For food.
Yes. Was it a cat? Is it related to the catfish?
Catfish.
Oh.
Catfish apparently does not have scales.
Okay.
So it's hard to skin it. I've heard you could nail it to the wall.
Oh, my gosh.
There's more than one way to skin a cat.
Oh.
It means catfish, huh?
Catfish.
Oh. Thanks.
Interesting.
Very good.
And this is one for Laura. What was the first year that Alfred E. Newman officially ran for president?
Oh.
Well, you should do this one.
I'm going to say...
By officially, you mean they filed papers and everything?
No, they just announced he was
in the writer. Magazine.
Oh, well.
It would be pretty early.
I don't know, 1960.
60, yeah. Or 60.
64? Okay. So he ran against Goldwater, huh?
No, 1956.
Oh, 56. Oh, he ran against Eisenhower and Stevenson. Right. That's very early.
Okay.
Very
good.
Can
I give one more question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ethel Merman's last movie part. I saw recently on television.
Airplane.
Airplane, and who did she play?
She played somebody who thought that they were in a military hospital who thought they were Ethel Merman.
A soldier who thinks she's Ethel.
That's right.
All right,
that's
thank
very
you.
Good.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Impressive.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is John in Berkeley.
Hi, John.
I have an answer to at least one of the photographs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's would you say migrant mother?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is that Dorothea Lange?
Absolutely.
Very good.
And I would have guessed Robert Capa for one that's not Robert Capa. And I've got a set of questions about the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery.
All right. Did you just see him?
By having seen Lincoln.
Lincoln, yes, okay. I haven't seen it yet, but so we'll see. Go ahead.
Well, having seen it wouldn't necessarily help.
All right.
Anyway, to be ratified, it needed 27 of the 36 states for ratification for it to be passed in their legislatures. So which was the first state legislature of the Confederacy to ratify the 13th Amendment?
Now,
what was remarkable about that?
Had the state been readmitted to the Union at the time or not?
No, that was not a condition of readmission.
Okay. So the legislatures were, since Democrat or anybody who had been a Confederate could not vote, at least for a few years, unless they took a loyalty oath, I think. They were mostly dominated by Republicans and Reconstructionists, I'm a lot of African American types. So how about Mississippi?
No.
All right.
How about Virginia?
Who said Virginia?
I did, Lori.
You're right.
Very good.
And what was remarkable about Virginia being the first state of the Confederacy to ratify?
It was the capital of the Confederacy.
That'd be one thing.
Richmond.
Yeah, that's true. And, of course, Robert E. Lee is from there.
Yeah, more remarkable than those two things, huh?
Much, indeed, remarkable in light of those things.
Were they had the highest percentage of people owning slaves? Something like that?
No. It had more to do with timing.
Timing.
I don't know that.
Was it the... Okay. Well, wait a minute. Let's see. But this was after Lincoln's assassination.
I can tell you no, it wasn't.
No. Oh, okay. So it was between the fall of the fall of Richmond and Lincoln's death.
No.
Okay. Well, then Burr fill us in.
Run out something there, Dana. Come on.
Well, I'll tell you. It was the first state to ratify Illinois on February 1st, just shortly after it was passed by the House.
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks after it was passed by the House. And Virginia, the legislature passed it on February 9th, 1865, 2 months before Lee surrendered at Appomattox.
Oh, right. Interesting.
That's remarkable.
Okay.
And so what was the 27th state to ratify, putting it over the top?
You mean okay. Was this a southern state as well?
Yes.
Maryland.
No.
That's not a southern
Was it a
state.
Deep south state?
Mason-Dixon, yes it is.
Yes, it was a deep south state rather.
All right, I'll say Mississippi again.
Nope.
All right.
I'm going with Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Louisiana actually passed it before the state did, I remember correctly.
I give up. What is it?
Georgia.
Georgia.
Okay. And what was remarkable about that?
Something about timing.
No, this has something to do more with someone being from the state and what this someone did during secession.
Well, Georgia, wasn't that the home of the vice president of the Confederacy?
That's right. Alexander Stephens.
Right.
What was the speech he gave that's so infamous?
That I can't tell you.
We'll have to see the movie first.
It was the cornerstone speech where he said, our new government is founded upon exactly the opposite idea, the opposite of all men created equal. Right. Its foundations are laid. Its cornerstone rests upon the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery, subordination of the superior races is natural and normal condition.
Mm.
So it's ironic. And once you see the movie, Lincoln, you'll see Alexander Stephens.
That's Jackie Earle Haley. Who plays that, right?
Right. You'll see him in a scene at the end of that, and you'll see how ironic it was. Mm. And then the last question, what was the very last state of those 36 states at the time to ratify?
The very last state. Is this also a southern state?
It's also a southern state, and the remarkable thing about that is its timing.
Oh, so is it just before the Reconstruction is over in 1876?
No, It's not.
Okay. No, you better fill us in because we don't know.
Mississippi, you already guessed.
Oh, all right. I should have kept guessing Mississippi. Okay.
And it was remarkable because they, after having rejected it back in 1865, they passed it finally in 1995.
Oh,
wow.
1995. Oh, interesting.
They were sort of Johnny-come-lately.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, and I wanted to see Lincoln before that question. Now I'm not quite so
oh,
sure.
Oh, stop. And you're listening to Minds Over
Matter. I
feel
like I have seen it.
We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. If you'd like to join us with a call and with a question or answer, and the number is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And... oh, I have to think now. I think it is... it might be your turn, Jerry. So go ahead.
Okay, I never get a chance to ask. I have to wait till Lori comes to ask sports questions.
Oh,
so
good.
I'm going to ask two together. Who is the NFL's first commissioner? That's the first question. The second question is, who is the only U.S. athlete to have been drafted in four professional leagues?
Four or so would have been basketball, football, baseball, and... Gianna, what would be the... can you tell me the four sports?
And,
four leagues.
Wait a minute.
Hockey.
No one
guessed. Basketball, football, baseball, and basketball, yeah.
No, you said basketball.
Oh, basketball. Yeah.
The four sports
football,
tough.
Baseball.
Yeah. No, I was thinking it's the guy who broke the color barrier. And,
I said four professional leagues. I know.
Two football leagues.
Yeah.
Who are you thinking?
The name went right out of my head. He broke the color barrier in New York. The black baseball player.
Jackie Robinson.
Jackie Robinson.
No.
This is more recent.
No, this is. No. Yeah, I mean, he could have been. He played all those in
college. He did play
in
all those sports.
He was drafted, I'll tell you, he was drafted for the National Basketball Association.
I don't think they had a draft back then.
He was drafted by the National Basketball Association.
How about Jim Brown?
The Atlantic Hawks, the Utah Stars of the American Basketball Association, the San Diego Padres, and the Minnesota Vikings.
How about Dave Winfield?
That's it.
All right, very good.
He's such a great athlete.
Very good. Okay.
And the NFL's first commissioner?
Yeah.
Boy, was it George Halas?
No.
Okay. Is it a well-known person?
Yeah.
Somebody who had been a player?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. All right. Leave that one out.
We'll take a call while you're thinking about it.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, gang. It's Dave in SF.
Hi, Dave.
I can answer Pauline's question.
All right.
About the photograph which shows the raising of the flag over Iwo Jima.
Yes.
Good.
The photographer is Joe Rosenthal.
Absolutely.
Of the Chronicle.
And he was a photographer for the San Francisco Chronicle.
He was with AP at the time, but he then joined the Chronicle.
Do you know him?
Yeah. He was a colleague when I was there. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Okay, I'm full of ribeye steak. I didn't have to. Don't you hate me, though?
No.
Not for that.
Not for that.
Really is good.
For the questions, but not for that.
Okay, good night, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Didn't they restage the Iwo Jima picture? Didn't they restage it? And the one we know, it was a restage version of the original?
I think they did stage it the next day or the day after.
I was at the Chronicle and I go out on assignment. So go, you know, they said one of my first days there, and they said go out with Joe Rosenthal. He was the photographer on the story. I said okay, and I realized it's the Joe Rosenthal. Yep. I could not believe it. He's a lovely old guy, you know, just wonderful, very modest, you know, and.
It's something.
Unbelievable, yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
And I got my answer answered, but so I just have a guess about the Mai Tai.
Oh, yeah.
And could it be a simple thing that Mai Tai just means, like, gee, that's really tasty?
Well, kind of. I mean, it not exactly, but sort of. It's definitely an exclamation to say something in that order. Like,
okay, so something more specific than that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then I have a question.
Yes.
Who was Florence Owens Thompson of Oroville, California?
The name is familiar for some reason. Why is that familiar?
Thompson?
Yeah, Florence Owens Thompson of Oroville, California.
Do we know this person under another name?
No, but you know her image.
Oh.
Oh, her image.
Was she the
like Rosie the Riveter?
Rosie the Riveter, I was just thinking. Was that the woman on the poster?
No.
Who posed for the poster?
Was she the migrant woman in the picture that's...
By Dorothea?
Pauline mentioned?
She was the migrant mother.
Oh, good job.
Very good. Very good. I could...
In 1936, by Dorothy Lange.
Uh-huh.
Good.
Good job.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was a great follow-up.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Good.
Very good. So last week I asked you, two elements, they exist as liquid at room temperature, and very easy to guess mercury.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody guessed what the second one. Do you want to take a shot at that?
Well, we did try to guess it last week without any
success. Yeah, okay, so I'll tell you the answer.
You didn't look it up?
Right. It's bromine.
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 Okay. Then I have one question this time. Also, about 2 weeks ago, I asked you that North America had elephants and camels and many other animals you only see in Africa. But something happened 12 million years ago which destroyed all of these animals among big part of North America. And I ask you to guess what happened in North America 12 billion years ago. And it may happen again. What do you think happened?
It was a meteor hitting the...
You guessed that, but it was not.
How about extreme...
I would answer because it's... Do you want to take
extreme global warming.
No. 12 million years ago, Earth's
temperature. Ice age.
No. It is Yellowstone Park exploded. Yellowstone Park is called a super volcano, and it's going to happen again. It totally demolished North America, and part of it, the total extinction of all of the camels and buffaloes, and well, you have the bison, but it was different, African buffaloes, and giraffe, and all, you know, all of these animals vanished, among many plants, millions of plants vanished as well. One last question, very quickly, what is a sea butterfly? What is happening, sea butterflies now are disappearing because of carbon dioxide. It's carbon dioxide destroying our atmosphere, but also destroying our oceans because it's dissolving all of the anything it can, including killing this.
Is this the coral? Is this something to do with the coral reef?
Well, it is destroying the coral reef for sure. In most of Australia and many parts of the world, the coral reef is disappearing because carbon dioxide. No, this is actually a creature.
Oh.
Okay, I'll give you the answer because
stingray.
It's a short time. Snails.
Small
tiny snails. It eats the shell, and the poor thing becomes shell without shells, so other creature eats them. It's
all
pretty
right.
Sad. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, hi. This is Aaron from San Francisco.
Hello.
I have a correction to an earlier question
about
your panel. I believe the caller asked, in what year were 8 of the Chicago White Sox banned for life from baseball?
Yes.
We said 1919, but it wasn't 1919.
It was later than that.
1920 or 1921. Right.
Yeah. 21, huh?
Well, it was for 1919. That's sure. When it happened.
Oh, but they were banned in 21. Ah, very good.
That was
good.
A very good correction.
I wanted to catch you up on that.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Quite right.
Commissioner Landis banned them.
Keep us honest.
He tried to be.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We still need the commissioner of football.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Dan in San Francisco.
Hi, Dan.
Hi. I have an answer, I think, for the biggest shopping day of the year before Black Friday used to be President's Day.
No. Okay. Good guess.
That's what they told me when I worked in a stereo store back in the 70s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think so, though. Not according to my source.
That was just to get you to work late.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Boost sales.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. And we do have a couple minutes left, so we'll take as many calls as we can. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi. The answer about the Katy and the flower in Carolina.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Those awards, literary awards?
They are not literary awards.
Or some kind of an award?
No.
Thank you. Bye.
That's all right. Thank you very much.
At least the first person to actually make a brave guess.
But nothing like that, right?
Katie, Marshmallow, Flower, Courage, Peace, and Carolina. They are all names of a living thing.
Like a kind of living thing.
It's not a kind of living thing. It's
an actual living thing.
But you also you said they're not varieties of one thing.
They're all the same variety of the same thing.
The names of my neighbor's cats.
Nope. Okay. They're all linked together in a historical way. Katie, Marshmallow, Flower, Courage, Peace, and Carolina.
Interesting question.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. The first NFL commissioner was Jim Thorpe.
Very good.
Very good.
I didn't know that.
I did not know that either.
Yeah.
Good.
But I wouldn't guess that. But
I didn't know that. That's great.
Thank you.
Very good call.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Sparky and Maddie.
Good.
Hello.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. All those that you've given, Dana,
yes.
Are those pardoned turkeys?
They are pardoned White House turkeys.
Nice going.
Yeah.
I hear Maddie in the back.
Katie, Marshmallow, Flower, Courage, Peace, and Carolina are all pardoned White House
pardoned
turkeys.
Pardoned peace,
yeah, she jumped right in. She said pardoned turkeys. Yeah.
The last one was called Cobbler.
Gobbler and Cobbler.
Okay, I'm out. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Cobbler,
pardoning peace. Yes. Seems like an odd concept.
That's right. Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I'm guessing that busiest shopping day formerly was Christmas Eve?
No, but you're in the right department, so to speak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has something to do with Christmas. Nope.
Okay.
But close. I'll give it to you. It's whatever the Saturday was before Christmas, mm-hmm. that used to be the biggest shopping day up until the date we haven't guessed yet.
Right.
Very close.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good guess. Yeah.
All right.
You're thinking of putting it back to the day after Halloween.
Time to clean up here. Jerry, what do we got?
I'm clean.
All right.
Okay, so Mai Tai means out of this world, the best. Yeah. And Afghan Girl was by Steve McCurry. Einstein's Birthday by Arthur Sass. And Guerrero Heroico by Alberto Corda.
All right, Lori?
I have the Black Friday day. It turned the corner in 2003. That was the day that it did become the biggest retail day in history. And then the movie in which Chopsticks was played, it was in The Best Years of Our Life by Hoagy Carmichael and Carol Russell.
Very famous scene.
Yeah. And I think that's it for me.
It was also in the Eddie Duchin story, as I recall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Eddie Duchin played
The host for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade that we're missing, we had Dave Garraway, Betty White, and Lauren Green, Ed McMahon from 1973 to 1982.
Great Ed McMahon.
And that's it for me. Anyway, if we did not get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was author Jerry Nachman. Teacher photographer Pauline Teichman from Diablo Valley College. Teacher Lori Fisher. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Eric Wayne and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time from your busy Thanksgiving weekend to join us for an hour. So please join us again next Sunday at 7 p.m. Have a great week, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
If it ain't sis, you can't miss. It's got to be you, brother. Can't you see it's got to be one way or the other? If it ain't for...